The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Marquee Sports Network.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, it's time to bring the heat.
Wow.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Waddle, you warned us. You warned us. We were all optimistic going into yesterday.
Look, it wasn't as if I can see the future. I'm like, what had you seen in the prior three games offensively that led you to believe that against a significantly better defensive front, that all of a sudden, miraculously, this listless and below-average offense was all of a sudden going to get it?
Yeah, I was hoping that with more time. And
was
and,
your visor and I, too tight I, yesterday?
Yeah, it was a little tight, and I was buying what Nick Foles was selling in the Zoom post game a week ago.
Oh, yeah, you loved yourself some post game press conference.
I'm usually not a post game meathead. I turned into one this week.
Oh, boy.
When Nick Foles was telling me, would you rather win ugly or lose pretty? I was like, hell yeah, Nick, you tell him. And let's go. The chemistry and the conversations, and it's coming, and he believes in the locker room. And then we turned on Monday Night Football. Da, 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 da.
Poo.
And then the defense outscored the offense.
Are you surprised?
Yes, I'm still surprised that the defense outscores the offense. All right,
that was a specific question. I'm saying in general, are you really surprised by what you saw offensively? And if the answer is yes, please, in detailed fashion, explain to me what it is that surprised you.
No,
thank you.
I'm not surprised because this has been the issue, and look, I don't want to pat myself on the back, though. I asked for Matt Nagy to give up play-calling duties in the offseason. You wanted to see more, which is it's a
sound. This isn't just play-calling, my man.
Oh, no, I know. You know where I feel this leads to.
Mm-hmm.
It's all this trail. It's all, the entire trail leads to Ryan Pace's office.
The whole trail. As we're on the I told you so bandwagon, I told you 4 weeks ago, like, if you zoom out, the best thing that could have happened to this franchise was a quarterback change. And not because I thought that Nick Foles was going to ride in here and play 10 times better than Mitch. It's because you were finally going to get a completely unvarnished view of what this offense is supposed to look like and who Matt Nagy is as an offensive designer. You can't blame Mitch any longer. You can't hide behind Mitchell Trubisky as the reason why you can't implement your offense. You made the coaching changes that you felt were necessary. You opened up the playbook for the quarterback that you trust. There are no more, like when Matt says, and we all love Matt, nice guy. When Matt Nagy says to you repeatedly, I've never been a part of anything like this, I don't know if it's conscious or it's subconscious. What he's telling you is, it ain't me, it's them.
Of course.
It's not me, it's you. That's what he's saying to you.
That was my problem with him 2 weeks ago.
Right.
He's like, oh, no, this can't be me. I'm not. But you know what? You have. You've been a part of this problem as is. It's trended downward since 18.
There is a scenario in the game that I will describe to you if you give me 30 seconds. And I was blessed to be on Greeny's radio show today. I love Greeny. I was got an opportunity to be on his show for the first time. And he asked me, is this a problem? Is it talent? Is it coaching? And obviously I said it's a combination of both. And to give credit to a caller that called Carmen and Yurko earlier in the day, he nailed it as well. This is what I wrote down last night when I was going over this game and asking myself, what the just happened? If you recall, they're down 17-3. It's in the third quarter with about 5 or 6 minutes to go. It's second and four at the Rams 9, right? Second and four at the Rams 9, you're down 17-3. You score a touchdown, it's a one-score game, you're in this thing, right?
Right.
Do we all agree on that?
And they've shown us that they've come back before.
Okay.
Like, don't count them out.
Right. So the play is called. Nick Foles, an immobile quarterback, rolls to his left throws the ball into double coverage to the smallest receiver on the roster, Darnell Mooney, who we all like and think he's going to be a fine player. In that scenario, he's the smallest receiver. He's double covered. The ball is thrown. It's tipped. It's intercepted. Again, you're down 17-3. It's second and four. You're on the Rams 9 in the third quarter. It's a throw that a rookie quarterback can't make. Mitch would have made that throw. We would have killed him.
Right.
Verbally. Nick can't make, he's a 9-year veteran. You can't make that throw. It's second and four. You throw it in the stands. You live for third down. Okay? That's the player failure. But when you rewind, you go inside the offensive huddle. Darnell Mooney, Anthony Miller, a receiver that they've basically told you they don't trust. They're lined up on the left. Your best player in offense is lined up split out wide right. Your quarterback rolls away from Allen Robinson. The only tight end on the field is Demetrius Harris.
This guy, I don't know what their obsession is.
I got Cole Kmet and I got Jimmy Graham on the sideline. Again, it's second and four on the Rams 9. You're down 17-3. You've called a play that rolls your quarterback who's immobile left. He throws it to a rookie receiver who's the smallest receiver on your roster into double coverage. The quarterback who's been in the league 9 years has been a Super Bowl MVP, cannot make that throw. And what the F is the coach doing sending in that play with that personnel in that situation? When you ask me what is wrong with this offense, that is the quintessential piece of evidence that says it's everything. You cannot explain to me why Jimmy Graham is on this team at $9 million guaranteed. And 99% of the reason why is he is still a very legitimate threat in the red zone. Why would you send in that personnel? Why would you ask Nick to run that play? And why would Nick Foles, who's an experienced guy who knows better, throw into double coverage in that situation? There's your, I mean, like, I could not have drawn it up for you any better than that. Or when you ask the question, what is wrong with this offense?
Right.
It's a combination
it's
of
everything.
All of it.
It's everything. And like my takeaway when I was summing it up too, when you zoom out, you always like to, you zoomed in there on that one play, and then you zoomed in on player execution, and then you zoom out on the strategy. Let me zoom out even further. You hired Ryan Pace 6 years ago in 2015. He has put all his chips in the middle on a college quarterback who had 1 year experience, 1 year, and a play caller who had 6 games experience. Think about that.
Yes.
He put all his chips in on a quarterback at North Carolina with 1 year experience, all chips in, and a play caller with only 6 games. And what do they have in common besides that? They both failed in their biggest game, too. We hear about that Sun Bowl. We hear about the comeback. Mitch lost that game to Stanford without Christian McCaffrey. Mitch dug himself a hole, but yet he still was infatuated. Matt Nagy showed you, he showed you in the playoff game against Tennessee how he gave up on the run. Got to have him as a play caller. So these are two inexperienced. And my bottom line is, when we go to Nagy now, because Mitch is yesterday's news, Matt Nagy hasn't been a part of these issues because he has very little experience.
Mm-hmm.
6 games calling games. There wasn't a lot of play calling experience there. And ever since 18, when they scratched the surface, it's only gotten worse. And I think when you knock it down, you knock down Mitch out of the way, and then you get Nagy out of the way, and then you get the bad wide receivers out of the way, and then let's go encircle the biggest problem, the offensive line. Who's responsible for that? There's a pathway here that leads to the general manager, who has generally managed the offense poorly. And that's why the Chicago Bears are where they're at offensively.
Well, you can argue, too. Like when Matt says in consecutive weeks, I've never been a part of anything like that. Well, maybe because in Kansas City, Andy would have never called that play for a quarterback who is immobile and wouldn't have that personnel on the field. And maybe when you were in Philly, you know, Doug Peterson wouldn't have done the same. So, I mean, like, listen, the point is this is player error, this is general manager error, and this is confusing play caller error. You put it all together, and, like, I'm telling you, like, last night was not the finest night for this Chicago Bears defense. It just wasn't, for a lot of reasons. I think the Rams ran for 161 yards, but they scored a touchdown, for crying out loud. You know, they took the ball away. Again, they weren't perfect. You're wasting a defense that could take you into – they should be with this defense over the last 3 years. They were dominant, the best defense in the league in 18, a top-five scoring defense last year, and they'll probably end up as a top-five scoring defense this year. Not – they're not, you know, without fault. But you're wasting a defense that should have you as an NFC title contender for the last 3 years. You're wasting them.
You're wasting it. Yeah. And then you know what? Now you're going to have to knock it down, and then the defense is going to age.
Of course.
And it's 312-332-3776. 332-3776. As I put in my little video before the show, can you please help us find the Bears offense? But it is multiple problems. And when it's multiple problems, how can it be fixed this year? We'll look for some solutions. We'll solve all of the Bears' issues over the next 4 hours.
Oh, no. That's way too aggressive of a chore.
We're smart people.
No.
I want to, yeah, maybe not. Yeah. I want to play you here, Brian Griese, and then I want to know after the break on what you believe. This is obviously one of the top stories here because it brings up a greater issue on is the quarterback and the play caller not even on the same page? Is the communication breaking down? Was the communication just broken down between Brian Griese and Nick Foles? Or is there a bigger issue, what we saw in the Tampa game, where Nick wanted to go, the play caller didn't want to go, and they're going back and forth? Is the play caller not understanding what the quarterback is seeing? Take a listen to Brian Griese.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. And sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
I want to know from you when we come back, was that a communication breakdown between Foles and Griese? Was that a conversation that Nick Foles thought was off the record and just for Brian Greasy's information, quarterback to quarterback? And maybe he's talking out of school. Is there a bigger issue between Foles and Nagy here that is being communicated to a broadcaster and not being communicated to the head coach? 312-332-3776. There is so much to talk about. You can watch us and listen to us and interact with us on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Make sure you take us with you with your ESPN Chicago app. Wherever you may be, whether you're in your car or whether you're at home or whether you're going to the office and you're working shorter days, that is the easiest way to listen to us, the ESPN Chicago app. We're talking Bears, we're talking struggling offense, and we're doing it with you next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. And sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
There you go. That was Brian Griese on ESPN. The second time after a game, Brian Griese has caused a stir in the media. Once as a player, when he led the Bears on a game-winning drive, we alluded to that yesterday, too, with Steve Levy. where he said, look, my communication, my helmet went out. I called all the plays myself and sort of indicating that they were better off without Ron Turner's play calling. And then the next thing you know, Brian Griese was standing up at the podium on Monday apologizing for that. The Bears made him apologize. Now what they do is they give you the Monday Night Crew, as Steve Levy explained, has these production meetings with Matt Nagy and usually the quarterback or best player, and they talk for 10 or 15 minutes. It's not recorded. It's just to give them information to use on the broadcast. And Brian Griese said in that production meeting that this is what Nick Foles says. Now, Waddle, what do you believe is our Bears Tuesday coverage is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. What do you believe happened there? Because Nick, and we could play this in a bit, Nick Foles just said it was a communication breakdown.
I don't think it's as big a conflict as maybe you could deduce. It sounds worse, I think, than it is. I think what Nick Foles is telling you is four starts into this, behind an offensive line. I think what Nick Foles is basically doing is telling you that the protection isn't very good without calling out his offensive line. And I think it's a quarterback-to-quarterback conversation. Like, hey, you know, you've been there before, right? When the play calls in and comes in and you're like, there's no chance that I'm going to be able to get this ball off because I don't have time to do it. It sounds like a good play from the sideline, but when you're standing behind center and you got Aaron Donald and others coming at you, it sounds better than it actually is as a play. I don't think that this is nearly as big a deal as people may really want it to be. I think that there will be a process where Nick and Matt have to sit down and both be on the same page and realize, hey, listen, we got to throw those plays out.
They weren't on the same page earlier. Remember when one wanted to go and the other one didn't? As someone brought up in the Twitch channel too, don't forget last year with the Pinheiro field goal. Remember when they didn't get him on the right hash?
Yeah.
Because sometimes that Denny's menu, when you're the head coach, is distracting. He's got to do both jobs.
I think this
is a tough job as an overseer. And maybe if you're just overseeing stuff, instead of worrying about calling all these plays, you could then say, hey, you know what? This call where we roll out to our left and don't even make Allen Robinson a threat, maybe that's better off not called. Do you know what I mean?
My point is I don't think that this is some sort of like frosty relationship that exists up at Hallis Hall and these guys are going to be on non-speaking terms. I agree with what you're saying. I think the issue here is that Matt still doesn't do a good enough job of adjusting to the things that they do well and what they don't do well.
Right. It goes back to what he did with Mitch or what he didn't do with Mitch.
Yes.
He didn't call.
Listen.
He wanted to call the plays on the shiny Denny's menu. He wants to run these plays that are special with Cordero Patterson in a must pick up 2 yards instead of just saying, okay, we don't have time to run this one. We can't do this one. We can't block this one up. Let's do what our guys do best and just run. Keep it simple, stupid.
And that's what I thought they did in the first 2 games when Mitch started. Look, with the benefit of hindsight, I can make a case. I look back at the 2019 season, and I can say to you that I think with the benefit of time, I think the coach hung the quarterback out to dry to a certain degree. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not telling you that Mitch's struggles were only because of the coach. But why did the coach continually ask the quarterback to do stuff that he had to know he really wasn't proficient enough to do? So that he could hold his hands back and go, well, see, look, what do you want me to do? Yeah, man, he can't. What do you want me to do? Like, look what the other coach did last night and what he's done all year. Sean McVay. He knows he can't, and in some ways I thought he dropped back Jared Goff too much. But he knows that Jared Goff isn't good enough to stand back there and throw it 40 times without the help of a running game. What did he do? His offensive line got better. Okay, they got healthy and they also filled some gaps. They run the hell out of the football. Do you realize, Sylvie, they're the most balanced team in the National Football League? I told you yesterday, into that game, that Jared Goff had thrown it 190 times and they had run it 188 times. Do you know what the numbers were last night? Exactly 50-50 once again. So that coach knows what he can and can't do with his quarterback. And I think Matt did a bad job of acknowledging all of that with Mitch last year, knew he couldn't handle some of that stuff, asked him to do it anyway, and hung him out to dry a little bit. Like, that's part of coaching. And I thought that that's where Matt had made some improvement at the start of the year, as you mentioned. He knows what Mitch can do, so we've got him under center. We're running more of a power run game. All the passes, for the most part, come off the play action and off the run looks. I mean, like, it's that's the essence of coaching. And you saw it last night from McVay, and you haven't seen it from our guy. And I think that's part of what Nick Foles is intimating in a roundabout way. Like, look, you can't ask them to run some of these plays when that offensive line can't stop a fart.
Well,
I mean, you just can't.
If the coach and the OC doesn't know that that's the case, then, and the quarterback does, that's a huge issue.
Well, I mean, isn't it, though? But, Sylvie, look at this. I mean, this is a few games. Six games in the NFL is a trend, wouldn't you say? Like, every game is almost like a new season. Let me give you these numbers. In year one of Matt's tenure, they averaged 344 yards, 23 points per game. Offensively, that ranked 21st in yards per game. They were more middle of the pack in scoring, but you have to factor out six defensive touchdowns.
Right. But a good starting point.
Yes,
like,
right.
You
caught some guys off guard a little bit. Trey Burton was healthy, and the offensive line was healthy and played better. In year two, you were 29th in yards per game, 29th in points per game, and your quarterback, he regressed. Seven games into year three, you're 29th in yards per game at 308, and you are 27th in scoring. That's three seasons. That's not six games. That's three seasons, or two and a half seasons. Like, what do you think is going to change if you allow the same decision makers and the same play callers and the same brain trust on that side of the football continue to do their thing, quote unquote? What do you think it's just magically going to change?
No, and there are huge issues. Let's get to the phones. 332-3776. A lot of great sound we want to play too. Andy in New Lenox, you're on ESPN 1000. Andy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Depressed. We're hanging in.
I'm depressed, Andy. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a football depression.
Well, Waddle, join the club, my friend. Listen, so you guys know me. I'm always one to defend this team when they win games. I know it's not pretty, but you know what? A win's a win, and I'll take it. But I got a couple issues. And so my problem is with, I mean, Wonder Boy Matt Nagy, who thinks he's smarter than basically all the other teams that had Cordarrelle Patterson on their roster. I don't understand why this guy is a massive part of the offense. And, you know, they kept talking about it yesterday on the broadcast, how he's, you know, this great kick returner and everything. And to me, it's like being good at being able to read a map while you're driving a car, even though most cars have GPSs. Like, it's not that important.
I still use MapQuest.
And you look over across at the other sideline and you see Sean McVay, and he's a guy, he's a great coach, he's a great offensive mind, he can do a lot of things. But he did yesterday exactly what he needed to do to win the game. And that's all we're ever asking Matt Nagy to do, is don't get too cute, don't get too smart. You look at Sean McVay, he's like, look, this offense across from me, the Bears offense, can't stay on the field. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go no huddle, and I'm going to throw little short passes to kind of keep everyone moving, keep all this and burn out this defense. And that's exactly what happened. That's why they ran for 160 yards. That's why they had missed tackle after missed tackle, because they were gassed, because the guy on the other side of the field, Sean McVay, is making this happen by his play calling. That's a problem that Matt Nagy doesn't understand. I don't get why he thinks he's the all-time best coach, you know, ever. The guy tries to outsmart everyone, and Cordarrelle Patterson being used constantly when you've seen from other teams that he's been on that this guy's not a threat.
Well, Andy, I was just going to say, Sylvie, I'll give you another name, Demetrius Harris. He's been targeted 14 times. That's twice as many targets as Cole Kmet.
We heard for the second time that Cole Kmet needs to play more in a postgame. Play him more then. Don't tell us. Show us. Get him out on the field. Ted Ginn's wasting a roster spot. Wasting a roster spot. Come on, Alec in Wakanda, you're on ESPN 1000.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call, and of course, Sylvie Strong.
Thank you, Alec.
Always welcome, Sylvie. So I'm calling because I'm wondering after last night's performance, why the hell Lamar Miller is still on the practice squad. You can't tell me that Patterson is better in the backfield, gaining a whole entire rushing yard the entire game, regardless of how bad the offensive line is and how many times we decide to run directly at Aaron Donald. I mean, what exactly do you have to lose? And in terms of Matt Nagy, I know that Cap always talks about how he's developed this great culture, but you know who else has developed a great culture? Patty Fitz and Northwestern. And you don't see them winning any Big Ten titles anytime.
You know, Chris and I had this conversation.
Out of the blue.
And Chris is right. I mean, like, culture's important, but you can't overvalue it when you're not making strides in other areas. Like, you know, I get it. There is, but, and Chris made a very good point about this. I mean, culture, again, it's a solid concept, but it can't.
It's a starting point. Yeah. Culture's the starting point, and you must take off from there. The problem is if this was Lovie Smith, if this was a defensive-minded coach, and you read those numbers from the defensive-minded coach where he had a play caller that was ranked 29th last year and 29th this year, we'd be calling for his firing.
Yeah.
And that's why I have a new motto for our T-shirt, less cute, more nasty. Can I tweak that for you coming up next? I want to see if you approve.
Tweak away. Be a tweaker.
Or disapprove this. 332-3776. We'll take all your phone calls, play some great sound that we got, including Nagy on his play calling situation. It's all next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so we'll Waddle coined the phrase a year or two ago. Less cute, more nasty. Meaning, you know, these designing of the plays, it's nice, but let's do the basics first. Let's get nasty up front. Let's push some people off the line of scrimmage. Let's run the football. Let's balance this thing out. Less cute, more nasty. It's cute lining Cordarrelle Patterson up in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute throwing to the little guy rolling out left and Allen Robinson, you know, out of the play completely. And Jimmy Graham on the sideline when really the only thing he still does well is be a red zone target. That's cute. Mm-hmm. Really cute. So I'd like to, and they're selling like hotcakes right now at Obvious Shirts, and it created a shirt. So I'm wearing that shirt right now. Less cute, more nasty. I would like to now coin the phrase, tweak it just a bit. Less cute, less neggy. Can we do that?
Sure.
I need less neggy. I think Abdallah coined the phrase. I forget if a caller said it, but Abdallah put it up on the screen one day about a week or two ago. There are too many Nagys in the building. He's gotten everything he's wanted. He got Flip, who's been, by the way, demoted twice in the last 2 years, Flip, DeFilippo. And he got fired by the Vikings. He got fired by Jacksonville. Bill Lazor, your offensive coordinator, was out of football last year. He was an analyst for Penn State because the whole coaching staff got blown out in Cincinnati. You know, Castillo has been moved around these last few years, too. He was supposed to be God's gift.
He was supposed to be the reason why the offensive line would be significantly better.
So, and again, I don't know who you would give it to, but you need less Nagy now. I think we've all come to that conclusion that he does have redeeming values. This is not a guy who's a lost cause, but we need less cute, less Nagy.
Well, you're not going to get it. Like we've all said, you're not going to get that.
I have not heard his response yet. Chris told me he met the media this afternoon, and he was asked the question, would he be willing to give up play-calling duties? This is what he said.
Yeah, you know, I look at all that, and that's the very first thing that I look at is that. Hmm. And so I talk to our coaches, and we talk through that whole process, and I'm really honestly not opposed to there's no opposition from me if we feel like that's what the issue is. And so we look at that right now where we're at, that's not what we're we think it's at. But at the same point in time, I'll always continue each week to look at it. I mean, I'll say this too. When you're in a little bit of a rut, like we are, right now, you have to look at everything. And sometimes even if it's just a little bit of a change somewhere too, you have to be able to do that. No one here, coach and or player, has too big of an ego to think that it's not them, right, as a player or a coach. So we talk through those kind of decisions, and you know, we just keep evaluating and rolling and seeing where we're at.
It's not a little bit of a rut. It's not a lot of bit of a rut. It's who they are. That's what, you know, I mean, don't lose sight of that. 7 games into year 3 of this offensive tenure, they're 29th in the league. The second year of their tenure, they were 29th in the league. This is who
they
are.
That's a good way of putting it. It's not Chris Bryant who all of a sudden is hitting a .180.
This is who they are.
Yes, that this is the only thing, their only body of work under Nagy offensively.
Like when Matt says, I've never been a part of anything like this. You were leading it last year. They were 29th in yards per game and 29th in points per game. Like, you didn't wake up miraculously in 2019 statistically was a mirage. It was reality.
Yeah. Adam in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good.
Good. I think everything flows through the offensive line right now. Like, I get, you know, Nagy's play calling hasn't put them in a position to win. But they went from, you know, a mobile quarterback that wasn't accurate to a more accurate quarterback that is a statue back there. And they can't get the run game going at all because Montgomery's either hit in the backfield or he's hit, you know, the second he gets to the line. I just personally, I think that, you know, I don't know if Pace is going to make some moves at the deadline, but I'd really like to see them, you know, talk to the Giants about Kevin Zeitler or talk to the Texans about Zach Fulton. Maybe see if they'll throw Brandon Cooks in there as well. But
I got to be honest with you, Adam. I don't mean to interrupt, but I got to be honest with you.
Sure.
Based on the decisions they've made on the offensive side of the ball, I think your suggestions are very valid. I don't trust them. Like, what leads me to believe that they would make the right decisions with making trades to try and quote unquote upgrade the offensive side of the ball?
I personally, for me, I think some of it is just personnel based. Like, they don't have the bodies up front to get Montgomery any type of, you know, traction. And
I totally agree with you, Adam. I'm just saying these are the guys that Ryan chose.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, as long as we're stuck with Pace, which it kind of seems like we are, I'm just trying to work within, you know,
right.
Like, yeah, ideally it. I'm saying get rid of Nagy and get rid of Pace.
Right.
And, you know, and get some offensive minded, you know, GM and coach that will actually stop, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul as far as, you know, offensive talent and defensive talent.
Right.
But that's what we do, though. Like, if you let Pace maneuver.
There's tradition.
Right. If you let Pace maneuver and he gives up more draft capital to win now on a team that can't win now, even if the offensive line does improve with the quarterback situation, with a play calling situation, with a skill player situation, this team won't win a Super Bowl with some tweaks. And then you're screwing the long-term future of this team because you're drafting more. You're always chasing draft picks under Pace.
It's a good call, Adam. Real quick, too, Robert Mays made a great point. I mean, he's like, listen, the offensive line is really bad, and you're missing players. Do you know who, and Carmen and Yurko talked about this today as well. Do you know who's starting at center for the 49ers who put 199 rushing yards?
It's the Ryan Pace All-Stars.
Right.
It's you
got
Ronnie
Scrisoo.
They got
Chris Sue
there. They've got Kevin White on San Francisco.
But they've got two backups on their offensive line. They ran it for 200 yards against that same Rams team last week. Like, you can find ways to, like, plug and play and at least be somewhat competent. Like, they're not even close to competent running the football.
Not even close. Austin and Cherry, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Austin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
I'd prefer Cherry and Austin, but go ahead, Austin.
Gotcha. My biggest problem is I just cannot see how every week we go in, and I talked myself into it, and I told myself I wasn't going to do it last week. Prime time, you know what? We got extra day to get ready for it. We're going to get into this. We're going to show the world. The Bears are good, get some respect, and what do? Exactly what I was hoping they wouldn't. It drives me nuts how we can go in each week and there is absolutely zero change. I do not understand how there is no up-tempo. You've seen this year that when the offense has played well, it's when they've been down, up-tempo, keep going. They go down the field, score a touchdown. I just do not understand how they can not try something different each week. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's true.
Day.
Thank you, Austin. Let me say this as well. I mean, let's just be honest. Nick Foles has not been any better than Mitch.
No.
Like, they're different in certain ways. But let's not live behind this thought that...
You had to try.
I'm with you.
Mitch can't play.
I'm not telling you it was a bad decision. In fact, I'm telling you it was the right decision because you pull the curtain all the way back and this is you see who exactly they are. But like anyone who thinks that things are functioning better with Nick Foles as opposed to Mitch... You're wrong.
No.
I mean, there was a play in the Tampa game that Nick at the line of scrimmage devised, and we talked a lot about it that week that, you know, I don't think Mitch does that. But, like, Nick Foles can't evade the rush that is coming after every pass play because their offensive line can't keep anybody from them. Like, at least Mitch could keep plays alive. Don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating for them making a quarterback switch back to Mitch. That's dead and done. I'm just saying, look, I'm not sitting here naively thinking that Nick Foles has been a significant upgrade over what we've seen.
No, he hasn't. He's been disappointing.
Yes.
How could you go 1-1 on touchdown? I get it. The line's been bad. The play calling's been bad. The personnel's not great. Same thing with Mitch. We always stated that.
Yes.
That, hey, it's not all Mitch. It's not all Mitch.
Right.
But Mitch has to play better. This ain't all Foles. But Foles has to play better.
Amen, bro.
And that's why he's not been a long-term starter solution anywhere he's been. We've talked about it. 332-3776 is our phone number. The all-time greatest Bears, at least in the last 50 years. We've got the next number there, but we're going to continue to take all your phone calls. And Matt Nagy was asked, would he consider going back to Mitch? Play you that answer as well. It's all coming up.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. ESPN 1000 and the Waddle and Sylvie Show present the countdown of the 20 greatest Chicago Bears players of the last 50 years.
Dick Butkus was pretty scary, huh?
Here he is, Galloping Gale, carrying the man.
The best is yet to come, it really is.
Mike Ditka's NFC champions were as bold on offense as they were on defense in this title game. As McMahon rifled a deep pass from his own end zone.
Quick pitch to Walter, looking for the record, cuts back, he's got it!
Pass is intercepted by that guy, Brian Urlacher.
Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown.
Presented by Great Clips.
Mom always said, have a heart. Visit any Great Clips location in Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana. Support the local Ronald McDonald House. Buy a heart. Get a coupon for your next haircut. Give families the comfort and care that the local Ronald McDonald House provide. Donate today. Great Clips. It's going to be great. All salons are independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures.
The countdown continues with the 14th greatest Bears player of the last 50 years.
Go Bears!
That's right, 1970 till today. Who are the top 20 Bears? Real good one today, Waddle, at number 14.
He's one of the best weak side linebackers I've seen in my football watching lifetime, and that's Lance Briggs. Every play that was funneled his way seemed like Lance would make on a week-in and week-out basis. Lance was in the Pro Bowl pretty much his entire career. Lance was a fantastic player.
Think about it. When Lovey comes to be the head coach, he needs his Derrick Brooks, right?
Yep.
Wasn't Lance Briggs his Derrick Brooks? And I know that Urlacher, you got to be really, really good in doing a bunch of things, especially in coverage, too, at times. But Lance Briggs, like you said, funneling and making all those a tackling machine.
Yes. That defense was designed for, in a lot of ways, to shove everything in Lance's way. And I tell you what, he was a special football player, did it week in and week out. He was part of the Pro Bowl, seven-time Pro Bowler, first-team All-Pro in 2005, second-team All-Pro twice in his career, 2006 and 2009. Just a fantastic player.
So Urlacher got all the headlines, but there were a lot of underrated players on that defense, weren't there? Like Briggs and Peanut. It
says here he had 16 career interceptions. Yeah. Do you remember? I mean, like, that's a lot for a weak side linebacker.
He could do everything, right?
No,
he could get to the quarterback. He could tackle. He could intercept. You know, Lance Briggs, shout out to him. He opened a restaurant, too, during opening week of a season.
Yes, he did.
But that didn't earn him number 14.
No, that's not why he's in our list.
All his great plays did. So it's all brought to you by our great friends at Great Clips. Right now, caller 20 will win a $50 gift card to Great Clips. 312-332-3776. Great Clips doing great work in their shops and also with the Ronald McDonald House. So a $50 gift card to Great Clips right now for caller 20.
It's going
to
be great.
There you go. Let's continue to take your phone calls at 332-3776. It's Alex in Bloomingdale. Hi, Alex. Did Alex drop? Alex? Let's try Isaiah on the south side. Isaiah.
How you doing?
Good. We're good. How are you?
Good, good. I kind of got a question. I kind of want to change the narrative, or not the narrative, but, you know, the whole Nagy needs to give up play calling. My question is kind of towards for Waddle for being an offensive pass receiver. So how we're 5-2. I don't think this is the end of the world. Yes, we're not the best offensive team, but how can we make the offense better with the personnel that we have? I kind of mentioned this last night when I called in to Miller and Howard after show. I actually kind of like the no huddle. I think the offense runs a little smoother. I've actually kind of suggested that maybe we try to use Mitch as a Taysom Hill type player or whatever we have to do. I say more co-commit. So with the players that we have, that I think we have some decent players. We don't have Jerry Weiss, but we have, you know, Allen Robinson, Miller, and Mooney. How can we make the offense somewhat better with what we have? Because we have set ourselves up to potentially make a playoff run. So if we're not going to make any changes, how can we somewhat make it a manageable offense so that the defense could somewhat carry us, you know, to a deep playoff run?
Isaiah, it really is a great question. And I think you hit on a couple of the issues. Like, from a personnel standpoint, I need to see more Cole Kmet. I mean, you drafted him in the second round. We've seen flashes of him making good plays. Give him more run. The more you play him, the more you may get out of him. I know that they're not an efficient or proficient or very good running game, but you can't abandon it so quickly because you have a dependent quarterback. Like, you just can't ask Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky or really 95% of the quarterbacks in the league to drop back and throw it 40 times a game. Most quarterbacks are dependent to be efficient. They've got to stick with running the football. You just have to. And if it doesn't work, okay, run it again. Like, the play action doesn't work if the defense isn't going to honor a run fake. So I think you're limited with some of the stuff you can do in the passing game. Like, I put on the film, and I don't understand a ton of the route concepts. If you're struggling to create separation, how about some more bunch routes? How about doing some more motion, doing some things to help get your guys open? They're very limited right now because I think you look inside their offensive huddle, and let's be honest with ourselves. There's one guy in there that most teams would want, right?
Allen Robinson.
Yes. And everyone outside of that, they're guys.
They're guys. And even Mooney right now. I mean,
he's a rookie.
He's shown well, but he's still a guy.
Right.
He's a guy right now.
In a couple of years, he may be somebody that the whole league wants. But right now, he's a guy. He's interchangeable piece.
And then this missing Tariq Cohen.
Oh,
he's a guy.
Yeah, he's a guy. Yeah,
Tariq Cohen's grow on trees, some larger than him.
Yeah.
He's
a good player, but he's not a difference maker.
You can find him.
Right.
Eddie in Hoffman Estates, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Eddie.
I don't understand why people are asking for Nagy to relinquish play calling ability. He was brought in here to run his system. And if he can't run his own system, you think someone else in his tree can run his system? This isn't a law firm where it's like Nagy and Associates, where you hire a law firm based on a name. This is, we brought him in here to run his system. Clearly his system is trash. So a best way to resolve that is show him the door.
I mean, kind of, Eddie, that's kind of what my perspective has been. Like, again, it gets back to the valuing the culture setter. There's a value to it, but how much value is there to it? And if you're trying to implement his system, he's still going to have input. He may not be calling the plays. Does the system work with the talent that they've assembled? And oh, by the way, I kind of have a feeling that he's had tremendous impact on who they've signed on the offensive side of the football. That's just my speculation. So, like, I get it. I'm more than willing to see somebody else call the plays. I just have a high level of skepticism that it is going to be significantly better. But I'm more than willing to, as a fan, to sit back and look at somebody else with the menu in their hand.
All right, so I want to ask you, coming up in 2 minutes, is Matt Nagy's job on the line this year? And is he thinking about putting Mitch Trubisky back in there? You'll hear our stuff coming up in 2 short minutes.